They've got the curtains drawn, but the window itself is open, although there's some kind of bug screen in the way. I can hear voices. I don't recognize the language, and they're muffled by the curtain, but there are more than two speakers. One of them laughs briefly. It's not a pleasant sound. I settle back against the wall and take stock, trying not to breathe too loudly. Item. I'm sure Mo is in here, unless she's in the habit of lending her t-shirts out to strange, swarthy men who perform major summoning rituals whenever she's kidnapped by somebody else. Item. They're not with ONI or the laundry. In fact, they're presumed hostile until proven otherwise. Item. There are at least four of them. Two on the bike, two or more who stayed in here with Mo. I am not a one-man SWAT team, and I'm not trained in dealing with hostage rescue situations. And like Harry said, setting out to be a hero without knowing what you're doing is a good way to end up dead. What I need right now is a SWAT team, but I don't happen to have one up my sleeve. And aren't SWAT teams supposed to figure out where the hostage is and what's going on before they go storming through the building? There is, of course, one constructive thing I can do, though it's going to get me yelled at when I go home. I switch my mobile phone back on, then fumble my way through its menus until I find the call log and tell it to dial the last caller. That would be Mo, and if ONI hasn't put a wiretap on her, I'm a brass monkey stepfather. It rings three times before there's an answer, and I listen carefully, but there's nothing audible from inside the house.
Who is this?
It's a man's voice, rather harsh sounding. I hold the mouthpiece very close to my lips. You're looking for Mo, I say.
Who is this?
He repeats. A friend. Listen. Where you find this phone, you will find a house. There are several perps in the vicinity, at least four in the building. They've kidnapped Mo. They're building a DHO-NHA circle, at least level four, and you will want to take defensive precautions.
Stay right there,
says the man on the other end of the phone. So I carefully put it down under the window and scramble round to the back of the house on hands and knees. The front door bangs open. A different voice calls out.
Is that you, Ahmed?
No answer. I hold my breath, heart pounding in my chest. Footsteps on gravel.
The American bitch, she is secure.
I back away from the house toward the nearest clump of bushes. The men loom out of the shadows, but the footsteps halt.
I stay out here. Cigarette.
Bastards on a fag break. I glance up at the sky, which is dark as a marketing hack's heart and full of coldly distant stars. How am I going to get past him? I grip the monkey's paw in my pocket, carefully withdraw it, and point it at the ground. A red-eyed coal glowers from the doorway, just visible round the side of the house. A distant buzzing bike engine grows louder, heading up the hills far above. Apart from that, the night is silent. Too silent, I realize after a minute. There's a road over there. Where's the traffic? I begin to edge backward, trying to get farther into the bushes, and that's when everything blanks.